Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the AI Comic Pod. It is episode 49. We're almost at our milestone. And tonight it's just me and Stu discussing, well, previewing Thor Ragnarok, which is out in the UK. We're lucky again next week. How you doing, Stu? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm very good. I've got my tickets for next week and I'm going on Thursday.
There you are. Bit of Norse mythology for those that understand that. You got shouted down on Twitter, didn't you?
I did, for a terrible pun, and people don't realise that Thursday is actually named after Thor, and Wednesday is named after Odin.
Yeah, I learned something about you, that you know your mythological things.
I do. I was always obsessed with Norse, Greek and Roman mythology when I was in primary school. So, as you can tell, I was a fucking nerd in primary school as well.
My basic Norse mythology comes from How to Train Your Dragon, Vikings, and the Thor films. It's kind of quite extensive. If you watch Vikings, there's a lot.
And about there was also a bit of American Gods as well.
I haven't watched that yet, actually. Did you enjoy it? I've heard very mixed things.
I part enjoyed it. It was good in bits, and then head-bashingly infuriating in others, but people that have read the comics tell me that, or read the books, tell me that it's like one of the best adaptations ever put to TV.
I think it's hard because, it's a complex book series, I know that, and translating stuff from book to film is never that easy a thing to do, although it's becoming more and more successful, I think. Netflix is giving directors freedom to do stuff, which is working, and so is Amazon Prime.
I was just going to say, this was an Amazon one, wasn't it? So they're starting to follow suit now with
I think Netflix have kind of stolen a march a little bit on it.
They announced the other day they've got 80 original films coming out on Netflix next year.
Well, and they've got a film directed by Martin Scorsese on next year. Yeah, it's a huge budget film. It's got Pacino and De Niro in it. And Joe Pesci.
And Leonardo DiCaprio, because he's in...
I believe so. The Irishman, I think it's called. It's the biggest thing they've ever had, obviously.
That's like a genuine, real film.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, you've got... Joe Pesci's back with the other two. Harvey Keitel as well. It's just like literally, I think DiCaprio's actually not in it. But it's the classic cast of actors. So you can tell where they're going with things. It's all up the ante really now. So you're getting series, and we're both watching Mindhunter, which is a big David Fincher thing. He did do a bit of House of Cards direction, but he's mainly a pretty big Hollywood director. Do you know what I mean? So it's quite interesting, actually, because it's starting to compete a little bit. There's this mental film called Okja, and I made you watch Snowpiercer, which I think you saw was all right at times.
Yeah.
But the director, who's a Korean director, and he's done a film called The Host, has done this film, you know, straight to Netflix. And it's just giving directors that maybe aren't always getting the funding, you know, to get these projects off the ground, kind of an outlet. And it's interesting, man, what's coming out of it. So, yeah, it'd be good to see some more comic book adaptations. You know, I know we've got our
We can never have too many comic book things.
No, and there's some interesting things coming out. Obviously, you're watching The Gifted at the minute. I need to start that. And then
The Gifted started off really well. For anyone that doesn't know, just before we do go into Ragnarok, we'll do our little tangent slash catch-up.
Yeah.
It's set in the same universe as the X-Men, but it doesn't feature the X-Men.
Exactly.
It name-checked them very briefly, but it's not sort of resting on the coattails of the more established.
What was the
character.
Other one that was out earlier in the year that was the same kind of principle?
Why has my mind gone blank?
The Patrick Stewart's rumoured to potentially be in the second series.
Oh, Legion.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, same sort of deal. Takes place in the established X-Men universe.
Yeah.
Drops the odd name, but it's not like, oh, well, it was, you know, I went to the X-Men mansion the other day and something Professor Xavier.
Yeah, not doing a slightly funny Deadpool impersonation.
No, being real fucking Clang. Here's another X-Man. The only sort of name that you'll get mentioned at some point possibly is one of the characters is called Polaris, and she is Magneto's daughter, so she's got the exact same powers as him.
Cool.
You'd think at some point that's going to come out.
Yeah, you'd imagine so.
I'm going to do a little news section, but I'll do it at the end.
Once
we've done this, because I just want to talk about Marvel Comics in general. So
we can add time, and we can add time.
We'll get our major subject matter out the way first.
Our major subject matter is a film we've both kind of been waiting a long time for. I think a lot of
people listening probably have as well.
Yeah, there was a poster, you know, the original kind of neon kind of poster, and I think it had Japanese or Thai writing on or something, and that came out well over a year ago. It was a long time. This film feels like it's been in production for quite a long time, actually, a lot longer than Guardians and other things. And it just looked, it was all neon and vivid colours and all that, and it had Hulk and Thor obviously on it, and I just thought this film looks ace. It just looks so different, man. I mean, that's, and then when you get in the trailers that have come out, it's just, it's not at all like what we've seen from a Thor film before,
which
basically
is quite good, because
it is good.
You'd be hard pushed to find anyone that could find that many positive things to say about the Thor films. If it wasn't for the Hulk film and Iron Man 2, these would pretty much be rooted firmly at the bottom of everyone's list. They're not without their positives, but they have got so many negatives that it really did ruin them. And
Kat Dennings is the one thing.
Kat Dennings has been brilliant because she's great comic relief. The guy, I forget the actor's name, the one that plays Dr. Selvig, he's been good as comic relief. But for a comic book film, it can't rely on just the comic relief. You know, there needs to be the actual
story. I enjoyed the first one, I'll be honest. I did enjoy the first one. There was moments of it I enjoyed. I think we both always said that the biggest issue really is the relationship between Thor and Natalie Portman. It just didn't work at all.
Fuck.
I know you don't like it, obviously, but she just didn't fit. If you watch those films, you get this sense she doesn't want to be there. Do you know? Like, I get the impression
from pretty much every film she's ever done. She always looks like she's being held hostage when she's in a film.
A little bit, yeah. There's an indie film called Garden State, which I'm fond of, and she's good in that. But that's going back a long way. That's a Zach Braff film that he directed and wrote and
stuff.
Hell. It's his first thing he did outside of Scrubs. And it's a good film, but it's really good soundtrack. But other than that, and that's where she's kind of quirky and weird and a bit fun, like, she's been not a fun actress to not many people take a lot of heart from her performances, let's put it that way. Bit of a shit career considering her potential. From Leon, was she in Leon? Is that what people hyped her about? That was a good film. That's really
okay,
good.
I'll give her that one because Leon's a fucking brilliant film.
Yeah, I need to go back and see that. I haven't watched it for time. She's probably the weakest element. And like you said, there's a couple of comic relief elements and there's a couple of nice things. Loki involved is always good. Tom Hiddleston's always great. I don't think they've ever really given I can't remember. Oh God, who's the actor that plays his dad? Who plays Odin?
Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever given him enough to do, really, for such a senior actor with such experience, you know. And I just think it's all in all been a bit of a mess. And the second film really is it's a really shit film, to be honest. I keep trying to find positives about it, and I've rewatched it in a hope of getting excited about elements of it, but it's just a bit messy, man. And, yeah. And nothing really happens, and you're kind of waiting for something to happen. Loki's got a nice turn in it, but other than that, there's really not a lot going. So I think when this came along and all the buzz around this film, a lot of it was to do with a director, which is quite rare, actually, because, you know, Guardians wasn't hyped because of James Gunn. Do you know what I mean? I think Ant-Man got a bit of traction because of Edgar Wright, and then obviously a bit of publicity, or positive or negative, when he left, quite famously.
Yeah.
And then John Favreau's obviously, you know, with Iron Man, but, you know, he at the time was a kind of relatively unknown director. And then the Russos, pretty much unknown until they started doing Captain America series. So it's never been a whole lot of directors that have got any buzz about these films. They have on sequels, and they have maybe now that
one,
getting involved.
Once they've done one and people have seen the work, yeah, and got a name in the genre kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Or you know, if they've got a background in it, or they might have certain followers, but directors don't really come with that kind of territory. I think the one that's quite interesting, Ryan Coogler did Creed, which I quite enjoyed. And he has got a bit of buzz about him, and then signed on for Black Panther. So that got a bit of excitement, and that's quite an original feature.
So that's potentially the Michael B. Jordan connection as well.
I think that is the Michael B. Jordan connection. Yeah, I think that's where that came from.
Which is good, because I really like Michael B. Jordan, and really good from the trailers.
Do you know, I know I quite like Anthony Mackie, but I think he would have been a good Falcon, Michael B. Jordan. But
yeah, I could see that.
I just think he's got a little bit more natural charisma. I don't know, maybe that's
But he's still got the delivery. He's still funny enough to pull off the little snidey one-liners that Falcon does.
He's got an interesting career ahead of him. I'm hoping, and obviously next year we'll talk quite a bit about that film, and we might discuss it a little bit at the end. But that's obviously getting some interesting kind of hype. But, you know, again, a director that's not done that style of film, and coming into this, you probably couldn't, since James Gunn, but you probably couldn't have picked a more left-field director than Taika Waititi. Yeah. Now, this guy is Kiwi. Yeah, he's about as eccentric as they come. He dresses like a young Jeff Goldblum, which is a massive compliment. He's all flowery shirts and matching
he's
shorts.
Very,
and stuff.
Very flamboyant.
Yeah, and I kind of like that. You can kind of see the flamboyantness.
Well, if you want to call it what it is, he's just fucking weird.
Whenever
I've seen him doing any kind of behind the scenes videos, he just looks like a real oddball. But yeah. I'm sure if you were an actor, you would rather work with an oddball director who makes it fun than someone who's Mr. Super Serious every day. And the relationship he seems to have with Chris Hemsworth just looks brilliant. It looks like they've been friends for decades, the way they're bouncing off each other.
And he's been around for quite a while. He's an actor, he's a writer, he's a producer, he's a director. He's a bit of everything, really. I think what he's famous for, so he's quite involved with Flight of the Conchords for a period of time. There's a really weird New Zealand indie film called Eagle versus Shark that, again, is one of those films that people stumble across usually when they're travelling. And just various things like that. And then last year, he popped up with a film that I think was released at the cinemas, but it was straight onto Netflix when it came that way, which is called Hunt for the Wilder People. Now, it's a lot of people's favourite film of last year, of at least an indie kind of perspective, you know, rather than your mainstream film.
Yeah.
And it's just such a cool... It's a proper Kiwi film, so it's got that kind of very traditional kind of New Zealand kind of twist to it, and it's all set in New Zealand, so you get that kind of wonderful scenery. But it's really off kilt, man. It's not like anything you've seen. It's comedy, but it's very strange, but very likable. And the kid in it called Julian Dennison is going to be in the second Deadpool film, which is really interesting.
Ah, right.
If you watch the film, it's cool, man. I think you'd like it. It is really offbeat, but it's very funny, and it's got some really good elements to it. This kid just talks like no other kid. He suit Deadpool to a T, let's put it that way. Everyone kind of got a bit of buzz and went, who's this director? What's he doing? You know, and what's he doing next? Because they just want to see what he's going to produce. And to go from such a small indie film, which did really well, but it was like a budget of like $1,000. But no, that's very underplayed. But it's definitely one of the smallest budgets for a film I've seen in recent years. It's just kind of a kind of crazy thing that's happened. So they must have just been excited about him and wanted to work with him. And again, look, we overhype Marvel a lot. Well, we hype Marvel a lot. I mean, we're over it necessarily. But they're just producing, they're making bold decisions in who they bring onto projects. And if anything needed a shot in the arm and a reinvention and a completely fresh new take on it, it was the Thor franchise.
Especially if any of them needed a comedic shot in the arm to really lighten them up. It was dark without being dark enough. Yeah, because Thor in the Avengers films has always been quite funny.
Yeah, yes.
It makes it even more surprising that he's been so dry in his own.
And Loki as well, man, to an extent. You know, yeah, like Loki is all about being, you know, the mythology of it all. If you want to go back that way, Loki's mischievous, man, isn't he? You know, it's all about him being naughty and difficult and problematic, and but with a twist. And they just, you know, Hiddleston's had that when you've given him the license, but not so much within the Thor films. You know, they've really not given him enough to go on. So you're right, when you look at Avengers in particular, those two are as much a standout as anything for me in it. I mean, everyone in it's got, it just worked really perfectly. But yeah, you give them lines and they can deliver them. You know, it's all about that script and that direction. So I think you'll see more fun. I think that's the ultimate thing with this film. I mean, there's a lot to talk about, but in terms of what we're expecting initially, you've seen the trailer. Everyone's gone, you know, seen Thor going, yes, that's my, I know him, he's a friend from work line, which when I first saw, I just was in stitches because I just thought that's genius. You know, it's just the way they did it. And you've got people like Jeff Goldblum, and you've got these kind of crazy actors that you wouldn't have thought would have been involved in a film like this.
Big buzz around Cate Blanchett, obviously, as Hellerin. Just before we go on to casting, I think one thing I remember saying around the Logan time was Logan and Thor kind of feel similar in the sense that it looks like we're going to get the films that both of the characters deserved, and we've obviously so far Logan was exactly what Wolverine deserved.
Ragnarok
should be the solo film that Thor deserves as well, because the other two have, like we said, they've had their merits, they've had their faults, but they've always been regarded as a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, the big issue I think with the last two Thor films as well is they've really just played out in the wrong world, you know.
Yeah.
Like I think when you've got Guardians, it's always, you know, hopping into intergalactic space travel and all that, I just think Thor felt a bit like, why the hell are they in England, or why the hell are they at Stonehenge, or what the hell are they doing here? It didn't really feel like what you know you've got this guy in his incredible outfit and his hair and all his muscles and all that jazz, and then he's next to people in, you know, with umbrellas in soggy old England. It didn't look right, man. It worked in Captain America and when they got the set and the feel right, you know, the 40s and stuff. But it just didn't look right, man, for me. It didn't fit. And I think when you look at this, you go, right, we want more of Asgard. We don't just want a flash of it, or we want more of, you know, wherever the hell that arena is going to be. It looks amazing.
Stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's more what we'd expect, maybe, or maybe just what I'd expect. And it does allude to the whole Planet Hulk element of things, which is kind of exciting.
I think it was Mark Ruffalo has been in so much kind of fake trouble recently for things that he's said and things that he's done. But there was a good piece with him and Don Cheadle, premiere. It might have been for Guardians 2 or at the
Earlier this year.
It was D24, the Disney Expo. That's what it was.
And
they asked him, you know, about any chance of you getting a Hulk film? And he basically said, "Well, no, because the people that own
Universal are being twats." Yes.
I can't remember the wording, but it was along the lines of "are being dicks," and basically, it's impossible for them to now do another solo Hulk film. They won't play in the way that Sony have played with Spider-Man. They're not even willing to compromise on a deal that would make them a shit ton of money. So
it's a
they
weird
come up
one.
With a way.
Yeah,
they're basically
it's a weird
giving
one.
Hulk a solo film without it being a Hulk film. You know, he's getting his story broken up into like three different other films, and that's the way they're getting around it.
Yeah, exactly. It's clever because they've
picked up on
the
fact that,
clause, isn't it? You know?
That Mark Ruffalo's Hulk has been one of the huge successes since they started the MCU, because Hulk was always a little bit, the Ang Lee version was a bit meh with Eric Banner, and Ed Norton was good, but the story and the feel of it wasn't right. And then they landed on, you know, really solid ground with Mark Ruffalo. They've got the graphics better, so he looks fantastic.
He just doesn't look even the same person. Do you know what I mean? It's like you saw loads of memes when that footage was released of, you know, boyfriend versus the one you ought to worry about kind of thing. And you've got those two comparisons of Hulk, and it's just not even alike, man. Yeah. It's crazy. I think Hulk, being honest, is probably the best thing about that second trailer.
I saw a great stat about that. Up before Ragnarok starts, Hulk had only uttered 8 words in the entire MCU. And now you've got him having full-on conversations where he says, you know, about...
it's all like raging fire and
yeah,
Hulk.
You're like a little tame flame and stuff like that.
I saw
something the other day that was saying, I think it's meant to have been a year since the end of Age of Ultron, something like that. And for pretty much that entire year, there's been no Banner. He's been living almost exclusively as the Hulk on the planet of Sakaar. And it's like the lines have been blurred now between Hulk and Banner, and he's actually become almost the perfect Avenger, because he's got Hulk's rage, Hulk's strength, but Banner's intelligence. And that was always the thing that held the Hulk back, was the fact that he was basically a moron. Well, if you've got the Hulk now with a genius-level intellect, how important is that going to be when it comes to, oh, I don't know, Thanos invading Earth?
Yeah, you know, it might be quite crucial.
No more Hulk smash. It could be Hulk go over there and do this complicated thing, and he can actually do it.
So, well, bar his big hands. He couldn't disarm a bomb, could he? He couldn't do anything like that.
He couldn't dial a number on a phone or anything like
that. I don't think you could do keyhole surgery. I think he'd struggle.
Depends how big the keyhole was. You could probably do it on a T-Rex, but probably not on you.
No, I would think not. I am slightly small. I mean, Ruffalo, being honest, is... you just want to see more. Like, his story was going places when you get to Age of Ultron, because I really liked his interplay with Scarlett Johansson. They're really interesting together. And you like the way their story is kind of connecting. But she's the only one that can kind of get through to him, really. And
yeah, that whole...
And you wanted more of that, man. You know, it left you kind of going, where's the rest of this story? Do you know what I mean? And then obviously you go into Civil War, where everyone... is involved except these two, Thor and Hulk. And you just kind of, you know, I think you want more development of that story.
Definitely.
And I don't know if we'll get it. We might get a bit of it. I'm not sure we'll get a whole lot when it comes to the Thanos films, because it's just going to be...
there's going to be too much action to be looking
at. A lot of
action,
a lot of characters, relationships of people meeting for the first time, Guardians and Thor and everyone else. It's going to be intriguing. And you've got more Doctor Strange to throw in there, and Ant-Man and the Wasp, I assume, is involved. And then even in the second film, you've got Captain Marvel to throw in. So it's going to be interesting how they do it. But, you know, let's be honest, I think... we will see more of that, and hopefully we'll see more of Hulk going forward. But in the trailers, yeah, it's looked ace. And the stuff when it's just Mark Ruffalo, again, he just brings such I just don't know, man. He's just got such good charisma.
He's a very, very quietly funny guy. Even when
he is.
Like we've obviously not seen a huge amount of dialogue between the two because you don't want to give everything away. But again, when he's talking about them having a fight and he's going, well, so who won? And Thor says he won, and he's like,
I don't think that sounds about right. Exactly. I love that scene, man. I think, given the trailers, I think they've really picked some good parts to pull out without giving anything away as such, you know? I mean, they've given a few elements away. And I think the whole element of Ragnarok being end of days is what everyone knows about it. That's Norse mythology. It means the end of the world as such for them. And you get that Hela element of stuff. And Cate Blanchett, as you mentioned before, is just the hype around her is just exactly what you kind of want, because she just looks perfect. She's got this kind of weird British twang to her accent. I don't know if you noticed.
Not really. It's
she's just got this kind of Cockney twang to her accent. It's kind of, you know, when she says, did you miss me kind of thing? Oh, you know, I'm back or whatever it is. I can't remember what she says in the trailer. But anyway, we'll see if that's just my hearing going completely weird. I've just been watching too many betting adverts with Ray Winston, but it definitely feels like that to me. And she just looks really cool. I think she looks really good. And the one thing you see pretty early in the first trailer is that, oh, God, Mjolnir, sorry, not Mjolnir.
Or Mjolnir, as Darty called it.
Yeah, gets destroyed, which...
Yeah, and the...
It's very intriguing.
The theory has been that inside Mjolnir is one of the two remaining Infinity Stones.
Yes.
Or potentially that it's featured somewhere else, because
To be in this film.
it's got to be, because in the books, I think they did two different origins. Originally, it was this special Uru metal, and it was forged in the heart of a dying star. But then in one of the sort of parallel universes that they did in the comics, Odin, it was a living storm. There was a storm that had a consciousness, and Odin battled the storm and was able to trap the storm inside this Uru metal, and then he gave this metal to the dwarf weapon makers, and they forged it into the hammer, and that's how the hammer is able to know who is and isn't worthy, because it's actually alive.
That's cool. So I did just think, actually, Black Panther comes out before Thingy, doesn't it?
Yeah, their way around it might be that the reason it's so powerful is because it contains an Infinity Stone, which seems the easiest way to do it. You know, she breaks it open, she takes the Infinity Stone, and that's what ramps up her power, and that's how she's able to, you know, completely scorch the Earth and destroy Asgard. Yeah. And it looks like she's going to wipe out all the Nine Realms or whatever it is. And then Thor somehow gets control of it or whatever. It looks like the logical way of doing it, but she looks brilliant, and Jeff Goldblum looks brilliant.
Yeah,
and it, the way it looks like it starts off on Earth with Thor and Loki, with Thor and Doctor Strange finding Odin, and it looks like Loki has done something to Odin to wipe his mind, and he's just sent him off to Earth, and he's living as a hobo or as a drunk or something just on the streets, and he doesn't realise who he is, because there was photos that came out. They filmed these scenes when they filmed Doctor Strange. So that it was already out there that it's being done. And you saw Chris Hemsworth, Benedict Cumberbatch and Anthony Hopkins. And Hopkins is dressed in rags and he's covered in mud and he looks like he hasn't bathed in months. And obviously the last time we saw Odin, in inverted commas, it turned out that it was only a hologram and it was actually Loki. So
yeah, it was. That's
and
true.
And then it looks like we go back to Asgard for something. And that there's some kind of a fight. It looks like that's where he fights the fire demon, Surtur, the big, massive guy that's on fire.
Yeah, it does look like that.
And then they go off to Sakaar, and then presumably they have to come back to Asgard. So
it's intriguing. Like it's going to be a lot. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a lot to it. But at the end of the day, I don't think there's that much... They don't have to do any pre-work coming into this film. Do you know what I mean? There's no real introduction of new characters. You kind of know everyone. Jeff Goldblum's part is going to be relatively minor. Hela will announce herself pretty prominently, you would imagine. Do you know what I mean? It's not going to be a big surprise how she kind of has her introduction and the way that's going to come about. And you know, I think it's going to be cool. It's going to look very different to what we're used to. And I think already visually some of the fight stuff looks great. I mean, he talks about Hulk looking good, but the scene when Thor comes down and the lightning's kind of raging all through his eyes and down his body and stuff, that just looks wicked.
That looks like it might have been there was something. I only got this from one of the Emergency Awesome videos. There was a bit in the comics where Odin is powered by what they call the Odin Force. And at one point, Thor didn't have Mjolnir, but he was powered by the Thor Force. And it was basically like a direct connection to the powers of thunder and lightning instead of having to go through the hammer. And I wonder if that's maybe when he's got the Infinity Stone, that possibly the power of the Infinity Stone allows him to harness the power of lightning. But that looks cool as shit when he jumps down and his eyes are all crackling and...
He looks so different himself, man, because obviously seen with a haircut completely changed.
That's how you can tell the timeline, because when he's fighting Surtur, he's wearing his old armor and he's got his long hair, and he's got his long hair when he's on Earth. But towards the end of it, he's got short hair because he has it cut before he goes to the arena to fight.
Yeah, has it cut before the arena. He's got that pretty damn cool classic Thor helmet,
which looks brilliant. I'm so glad they've done that. It's just there's a modern twist.
There's a banging Lego set. I must just put it out there if anyone does do this except me. There's a really cool like Hulk in his armor and Thor like that in the arena with Jeff Goldblum. And that is probably going to get purchased in my household. It looks really, really cool, that scene. I think I love an arena kind of style battle. And the fact that you're kind of building this big suspense in the trailer and then it's just Hulk that storms through the wall. It's just classic what you'd expect from Hulk, really. And that's going to be the introduction to him in the film, you would imagine? Or do you think there'll be a bit more before that?
No, I think that's the first time that we see Hulk. And by that point, he's been on Sakaar. He's been the people's champion for like 6 months, nine
months.
It'd
be nice to see if they do a compilation where he's fighting other people. I'd kind of love to see that.
Yeah, it sounds like when he first arrived, he was like really resilient, really resisting, but then he's kind of got into it because obviously the Hulk is like pure aggression, and he's in this place now where he gets he's always had a bit of cheer.
Yeah, he's always liked a bit of he's got mindless a bit of an ego, and I know mindless violence, but a bit of an audience Hulk in the kind of stuff that I've seen.
That's something that they actually did, if I remember rightly, way, way, way back in the old, like, 60s comics. It was mentioned that was part of what formed the Hulk's personality. It was like the division of the id, the ego, the superego. And the Hulk was meant to be all of Banner's. Like, the accident, what it had done is it had literally personified all of his base emotions, all of his aggression, all of his unconscious desires and all the rest of it, and just went right, all of those things are now this big, giant, green bastard.
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting way of looking at it. But he looks brilliant, and every time they do him, the CG gets better and better, and it just looks more and more realistic.
It does, and I think the whole film, we keep talking about the visuals, but the whole film just looks... I don't know, man. It looks streets ahead of what's come before, you know.
I would say it looks very, very different. I actually got shouted at on Twitter for saying this, which was very, very, very surprising.
You got shouted on Twitter? That's not a surprise.
Correct. Expressing an opinion. I'm going to complain to their support because it's probably the first time it's ever happened. But my point
it probably is, yeah.
That it's following on from the look of Guardians 2.
It is.
And then I actually wasn't even talking about Ragnarok. I was talking about Black Panther. You know, those three films, Ragnarok, Guardians and Black Panther.
They've all got a very distinct modern style to
them.
They look
very bright, very futuristic, very neon, very sort of inspired by Tron and things like that, very sci-fi.
Yeah, they've got a sci-fi edge.
And they look very special, and they look incredibly appealing and very modern. but apparently me saying that is absolute hilarity. So, you know, please do feel free to deride me and call me all manner of names.
It's difficult, man, because people just judge. Well, they just judge like they always do in these kind of films. I still often read that people say, oh, yeah, I'm sick of Marvel films and this and the other. They only made one
David
or two good ones.
You were saying it a few days ago.
Was he?
Yeah,
David Fincher.
I'm sure it was David Fincher. He wasn't tearing strips off him. He was saying that it was something about, I think he was talking about the limitations of, you know, storytelling or something. I'll be honest, I wasn't paying that much attention because it was negative and, you know, I'm a bit
it just depends, man. It does really depend because, look, I love all manner of films. I genuinely do. And you know, I'll happily talk about Blade Runner until I'm red in the face. I'll talk about all the sci-fis, comedies, action, thrillers, war films,
rom-coms,
whatever, man. Yeah, the odd one. There's the odd one that's decent. Most of them are completely shit, but there's the odd one that are decent. And that's the thing. You can't just judge entirely. You know, you'll get cinematographers that do these films and they look amazing, and they'll be in a complete different style to these films, but that doesn't make these films any lesser. The work that goes into these films is often incredible, you know, and it is on the edge of, you know, cutting edge of technology in terms of what they're doing. And a lot of it is green screen, and I can see some people getting a little bit tired of that at times because I think there is a lot of films in Hollywood now that just are of that nature. But when you watch, like, Civil War, I didn't ever get a sense of the green screen in that film.
No.
Do you know what I mean? I didn't, you know, I think they use as much location as they can. They obviously use a lot of cities. We talked about a lot in the Captain America films where it's a little bit Bourne-esque where they go to different European cities. And that's not green screen. You know, a few of the stunts obviously are and the way they're done. But then the stunts have as much realism in them as they can in that genre. Do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, these are comic book films.
Yeah.
You know, if they were just done all like The Winter Soldier, and The Winter Soldier still has elements that aren't realistic by normal standards because these aren't just normal people as such, then it wouldn't make for much of a watch, would it? Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't get
I'm sure if somebody could find an African city that was the most technologically advanced in the world, you know, and they were able to secure rights for Marvel to film there, I'm sure they would rather do that than spend all the money, you know, creating Wakanda on green screen. But sadly, these things don't exist in the real world.
No, get those kind of cities in the middle of the jungle. Let's put it that way.
You don't get those cities
anywhere. Do you know what I mean? You don't. You know, Tokyo, to an extent, might have areas you could film and they look like Blade Runner at times, but nowhere near that level of, you know, futurism. That's what they're all about. These films are about places that don't really exist, and they exist maybe in your imagination. And the hard part of a producer, of a cinematographer, of anyone who's involved in these things, is to kind of take what their imagination is, take what they think your imagination is, and form it into a film that looks special. Do you know what I mean? And captures the imagination. So, yeah, I don't know, man. For a guy that would love to work in the industry and has the utmost respect of anyone involved in making a credible film, I just think it's bullshit to just downplay that these aren't really feats of brilliant filmmaking, really. And at the end of the day, I think if these films are shit, people don't go to them, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think they keep an audience. I don't think Marvel keep making films or Disney keep funding such films if they're not getting the tickets, you know, and people don't just go to these because it's just any old film and it's just marketing. Maybe Suicide Squad.
Especially the repeat viewers, the people who aren't into comics but love comic films.
Exactly. And there's hundreds of thousands of people that have just been turned on to films like this. And they wouldn't have read a comic in their life, do you know what I mean? Or watched, I don't know, the X-Men TV growing up, or Spider-Man, or any of that stuff, but suddenly they watch Guardians and go, shit, I want more of that, or they watch, you know, something on telly, and we'll still get it from our perspective, where you get people going, I listened to one of your guys' pods after watching the film, and it's great, and I want to listen some more, and I want to watch this, I want to do that. That still happens, and these films are marketed to hell, and And, you know, it's still the same with Game of Thrones, man. You people picking that up after 7 series and going, yeah, maybe I should watch this.
Oh, because he was saying the other day that his dad's been catching up on it. And he watched the whole season in a day.
Oh, that's amazing.
I think it was season 6 or 7 he watched in a whole day.
That's amazing.
That's genuine hero territory.
That is hero territory. Yeah, that is hero territory.
I think he caught up on the whole thing in like a month or something, which is...
That's pretty good going.
Beyond impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when I retire in God knows how many years, 40, I will just watch great telly, just nonstop. That's fine by me. Do you know what I mean? You just watch Game of Thrones on repeat. I'll be happy even in 40 years. And that's the thing, man. You know, it's nice when you stumble across something that you really get a kick out of. And I think what I've learned and what I'm stubbornly becoming to accept in my older age is that if you like something, you like it. Do you know what I mean? I'm sick of people telling other people not to like stuff or to like stuff. We do this podcast because we basically love talking about these films and love having a chat and get a buzz out of these films and the comics and the TV and all the rest of it. But we don't do it to go, yeah, you guys have to love this. Or you have
to watch
this.
Of do, I must admit.
Yeah, right.
I am bossy.
Yeah, all right, but I'm not so much. I've just come around. I think with kids, you just lose. So there's just no point. Do you know what I mean? You have to like vegetables. No, I don't. Well, you're not going to get tea. Yeah, they're going to get something because you just can't.
Yeah, but in fairness, people still tell me that I have to eat me vegetables and I'm 30 fucking 6.
Well, exactly.
that's just life.
It is just life, man. Yeah, we're always told by the man to do things we don't want to do. But, you know, these films and whatever, you know, it's nice if people get a buzz out of listening to these podcasts and then want to go off and read things or discover things. But if they just want to listen to us talk shit, then that's fine by me as well. I'm not that bothered. But I like it when people disagree in a polite fashion. You know, have some respect. Don't just go, oh, yeah, it's shit. It's like, well, why? Do you know what I mean? Why don't you like it or what don't you like about it? Because if you don't like this, we can probably steer you in the direction of something you might like. Because you watch Daredevil, and that's nothing in comparison to Arrow, but you'll get a load of people who don't know this stuff going, oh, yeah, Arrow this and Arrow that. I'm like, well, yeah, but Daredevil's not similar. It's completely separate to that. You know, it's education of sorts, you know? And we are completely off topic, but I think it needed to be.
Aren't we always?
Said a little bit. Well, yeah, I saw that tweet, and you got a bit of support out of it. One of the replies was absolutely genius that you got. And it's just a case of people, I don't know, there's a certain stigma, man. There's this snobberish thing towards Marvel and DC films and TV of this nature. And it's like, it's the same with the people that used to slate gamers. Did you ever have that growing up when you liked
God,
games?
Yeah. I still get it now.
I know.
I still get it now. People saying that gaming's a waste of time and blah, blah, blah. It's like, what's the
If my kid loves gaming, I'll be happy, man. Because I grew up on games. And I've got some of my best memories of playing games like GoldenEye, you know, four people around the screen.
But there's even studies that have been done now, genuine, like, peer-reviewed studies that have shown that a moderate amount of video game playing is actually good for kids' development. It's good for their imagination.
It's good for hand-eye coordination.
It's also social. Because if you're playing online, you're hanging out with, like, new people and talking to them. You might be telling those people that you're going to have sex with their mother, but, you know, you're still talking to them.
This is completely off topic, and it'd be good to talk with Guy Drinkle about this on the One Up podcast, but I remember discovering online gaming, and it was probably Call of Duty or Halo or something like that. And you go on, and there's these just mental Americans, and it's just these 17-year-olds, which literally are just fucking crazy, man. Do you know what I mean? It's like, don't give one of those people a gun in real life, because God forbid. No, that's a really bad joke. But
don't give him sugar.
No, it's just like,
I mean, I can be hyperactive and easily worked up, but a lot of the time when I game, I don't wear a headset because I just can't handle.
No,
I just burst out laughing when you wear some, like, Russian kids screaming abuse at you when you're going, that's not even a word. And then every now and then you'll just hear fuck and you're like, oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
It's just the funny old dynamic, man, of these people. But I remember gaming when it used to be with your mates around your house and you go and play footy and you come back in gaming and you do all this and people go, oh, it's ruined this, it's ruined that. It doesn't, man. It's all in, you know, part and parcel of being a kid and growing up. And I just hate stigmas towards this kind of stuff. It really bothers me. You know, if you want me to go and talk about art house films and talk about shit like that, I'm not going to do it.
I was going to say, you'll be doing it on your own.
Well, exactly. Do you know what I mean? Imagine doing a podcast about, you know, art house films of any description.
I'd have to wear a black turtleneck and a beret. I don't stoop turtlenecks. They make me look really drawn out and pale, which I am, but, you know, I don't need reminding.
I'd pay quite a lot of money to see you in some kind of, you know,
poetry contest. Don't finish that sentence.
No. It's some kind of, you know, poetry contest or something where you'd have to suddenly get up on stage and talk at an audience looking at you.
It'd be a spoken word thing about Wilson, you know it would.
Yeah, I don't think anything other than your dog that'd be the conversation. It would be. Or you're just making random barking noises at the audience. That'd be quite insane.
I'd be a fucking millionaire.
You would not, man. All your schemes end up in never coming to fruition. Yeah, one day.
Or with things ending up on fire. Yeah.
I'd love to see one like Dragon's Den, just pitching some crazy idea and just getting judging looks.
It'd also involve Wilson. It'd probably be something like, I don't know. I was going to say shoes for dogs, like real shoes, but they already exist.
What, like wheelies for dogs? Oh. Those little shoes that got the wheels in the bottom.
Oh, wooflies?
I don't think anyone is even listening anymore to this. I think we could just talk for another 20 minutes about random shit.
About shoes. So anyway, Ragnarok.
Ragnarok, it looks amazing. amazing. No, genuinely speaking... I can't wait to see it. I think it's going to be absolutely amazing. I think this year has been a pretty good year. I think Guardians 2 has been downplayed a little bit. I mean, we hyped it, and I still really enjoy it.
The opening scene for Guardians 2 has not long finished. The press tour that they've been doing was unbelievable.
Yeah, it does seem like a year where people have put a lot of effort into getting these films, like, tickets sold, you know? Because, like, Baby Driver, which is a really cool Edgar Wright film that came out this year, he literally went to every city in the world for about 3 weeks. There's, like, there's one thing on his Twitter feed where he's in Sao Paulo, the next he's in Tokyo two days later, and then he's in, you know, Australia in Sydney or something. It's like, fucking hell, how many miles did you do? Like, 30,000 miles in the space of 2 weeks. It's just madness, man. And that's all to get these films pressed and pushed and sold, you know, and... You know, fair play to them because it's a hard marketplace. You know, some big film releases now. And Wonder Woman's done extremely well.
Yeah.
Probably the surprise of the year for me. But then there is room for other films in there. Dunkirk's done $500 million this year. And I know Guardians did pretty well, didn't it, this year? Is there another Marvel film that came out at the start of the year? I've completely lost track.
Logan.
Oh, Christ. Yeah, well, that's a Fox.
Spider-Man.
Oh, it's Spider-Man, obviously. And I don't know what Spider-Man ended up on, but it's...
I think it was around the 700-800 million.
Yeah, pretty well.
It was...
I think everyone's expecting these 1 billion things, but they just don't come along very often unless it's Star Wars.
If you adjust the ticket receipts for adjustment, I think it's the second most successful Spider-Man film after the first Tobey Maguire. Oh,
Spider-Man 2 went crazy, didn't it? I thought Spider-Man 2 did crazy.
I think this one passed Spider-Man 2.
I think it did.
I can't remember. But it's been another good year. It's been a really, really consistent year. All the comic book films are pretty much...
Yeah, and this is the end of Phase 3 as well, isn't it? This is finally the end of Phase 3.
Yeah.
The last Thor film. So it's interesting what direction... 4 is going to be hit with a bang with Black Panther. And then it's going to be huge next year. I mean, Ant-Man versus the Wasp as well, and then obviously, what are we calling it these days? Is it Infinity War still?
It is Infinity Wars, yeah.
It's just the gauntlet thing maybe been given away. But
yeah, Evangeline, was it Evangeline? No, it was Zoe Saldana. Looks like she gave away the... But you never know.
Yeah, gauntlet she clearly gave away.
It might just be the working title for it.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, getting closer to these things, so you'd be surprised.
The weird thing is, because this Infinity War isn't really based on the Infinity War book, it's based on the Thanos Quest book.
It's going to be intriguing which direction 4 goes in, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that. But I think 3's been a really good phase for Marvel. I think it's taken some big steps, and it's done a lot of the groundwork for what's to come, really, because you kind of know you want more of Doctor Strange, you know, and then Black Panther in Civil War, and you obviously, you know, more of that. And then there'll be whole lots of Spider-Man, and there'll be some other interesting elements, Captain Marvel, and stuff to come out of, you know, stuff to come out of Infinity Wars, really, because you just don't know really what direction. We've made a lot of Stu famous predictions, but it's going to be interesting which direction they go in, really. But I think this film looks like it's going to end the Marvel year on a high, really. I think this could... It's a really good time for release. There's not a lot of films knocking about, and then Justice League kind of comes along next month. But this film looks like it's got a load of good buzz. And everything along with it, man. We talked about the visuals and the posters and stuff, but the artwork looks great. And I think there's a good bit of hype for it. So I'm hoping it does exceptionally well. And I'm hoping it's as good as it looks, really.
Yeah, if it turns out to not be as good as it looks, then they've done some incredibly clever editing
I agree.
In the trailers, yeah. Because... They're being widely, widely praised by people of all, you know, backgrounds and various different, you know, cinema-going fans, people that love comic films, people that love comics, and everyone is praising it. And it would be, I would be gobsmacked if it's not at least
with that cast
very good
and that
film.
Director and the whole. Plot from what we can see, I'd be surprised. Yeah, yeah, I really would be surprised. I think it's got really good potential to be.
If it's not just, at least a solid 7 out of 10, I will be gobsmacked.
Yeah, I would be too, actually. And I think it's going to have those kind of twists thrown into there that just kind of maybe tip it a bit higher than that. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Something
and
we
I'm excited talking
really
about it.
Talk it's about good. Is the leaked Infinity War trailer.
Yeah,
we think the beginning of that leaks the ending of Thor, which obviously we won't talk about because it's not an officially released trailer.
No, but it was some handycam footage from the I don't know the thing you
I think
mentioned
it was
before,
the Disney Expo, I think.
Yeah, Disney Expo.
But it looks like that could even be the post-credit scene of Ragnarok.
We will get a trailer, in my opinion, for that film
without a shadow of a doubt.
2 weeks or 3 weeks of the Thor release. If it contains that scene, then they can't do it pre the film.
No, but they could have the rest of it in there, and then that.
Yeah, that's the part I thought. It was just maybe to kind of throw, you know, I don't know. The other known superhero in this film, I think Doctor Strange is in Ragnarok.
Like I was saying before, he's in the Earthbound, but he's in the very beginning from.
Oh yeah, of course. And I did like the end of the Doctor Strange where he's filling his magic goblet up with beer. That's
yeah,
pretty
when he
damn cool.
He doesn't do tea.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And Doctor Strange really is still kind of one of my surprise favourites in recent years, actually. I always go back to that film now, and it's such a good watch. Cumberbatch is just so cool, man, and I just think seeing more of him. And that's the thing, you want more of these characters, or I always do, and more of Ruffalo, certainly. So it's going to be good to just kind of get a bit more screen time with some of those that we've not seen as much of after Civil War, really.
Yeah.
Anything else do you want to touch on? Do we want to talk briefly about the Black Panther trailer?
We may as well briefly talk about it. So previously all we'd had was the teaser, and now we've had the first full real trailer for it. And again, the direction that they're taking it in, with it being so bright and colourful.
It's kind of sci-fi-esque, but different, man. I'm really not sure. Like, I really enjoyed the trailer, but I just can't get a handle on what it's going to be like at all at this stage, because it just looks crazy.
It looks like a weird blend of sci-fi set really far in the future, you know, like hundreds of years in the future.
Yeah, technology. I get you.
But also it looks hundreds of years in the past, because it looks like the Wakandan people, as well as advancing technology, they've also stayed close to their tribal roots. So they're still wearing very, very traditional gear. If you took off the gear, you could be looking at, you know, a tribe that roams, you know, African plains or something. But then you look at them and they've got the best equipment in the world. They own the entire world's supply of vibranium, which is the most sought after raw material in the whole world.
Yeah, so we're expecting another Captain America shield at one stage, I would imagine.
I'm expecting lots of things from this, because if they get in pally pally with Black Panther, there's no reason why Iron Man couldn't have himself a vibranium suit.
Tony would be intriguing if they bring him into it.
I fully expect Bucky to get a vibranium arm.
Well, I hope so.
Because last we saw him, Bucky was A, armless, and B, in some kind of cryostasis.
He was.
In Wakanda. So it kind of, you know,
I don't think he'd be involved in the film from the plot and what we've seen.
No.
I think he may be the end of
I think he'll be a post-credit scene, one of
I
two.
I do as well.
When you literally see him, you know, come out of cryo and he's a bit groggy and they say, oh, well, you know, we just thought you'd like to see this. And somebody opens up a chest and there's an arm in there without the red star on it because, you know, he's not working with the Soviets anymore.
Yeah.
And that'll be it. You know, you won't see him put it on until Infinity War, but that'll be just enough.
They're
going to be too busy, because it looks like the whole premise of Black Panther is, you know, there's a civil war, there's an uprising because... Oh, the guy that
his
Michael
father.
B. Jordan Killmonger is he fancies himself as the next Black Panther, and he feels like it should have been his thing.
Yeah.
And he ends up, there was a brilliant bit where you see him in what they call the Golden Jaguar armor. So it's very like the Black Panther, but it's a little bit more golden.
That is a really brighter. Cool scene. It's a really cool scene.
When his clothing just sort of melts away.
It looks immense. And this whole soundtrack,
new armor.
I think we talked a little bit like it with Luke Cage. It's obviously, soundtrack is going to be in different style to what, you know, it's got that kind of deep hip hop kind of rooted element to it. And it's going to be different. And I think it's going to be fresh. I think it's going to be something we've not seen at all before. And so, yeah, I think it looks pretty damn good. And there's a lot of people going, oh, this and that and the other. But, yeah, fuck them, really.
Black Panther's armor looks insanely cool.
Yeah, it really does. And I just think the whole film looks pretty damn cool at this stage. It looks a bit...
He's a cool character.
He is a cool character.
At the end of the day, he's a superhero king. You know, there's not many
And he's
people.
Highly intelligent as well.
Yeah, he's genius-level intellect. And he's a billionaire. And he's got the most valuable.
He's got one up on Tony Stark. He's a king. That takes that next level.
Yeah, very true.
And there's going to be some cool fights. And I think the cast look perfect in terms of some really talented. Yeah, she's ace, man. She's a really cool actress. And there's some really good, smart casting in there.
Diana Guerrero as well.
Yeah, it just looks really good. I'm really excited about it. And I think... it's early next year, you know, February's pretty early if it's February or March.
February was Deadpool release time, wasn't it? And we said the same thing round then. It's a really interesting time to release it because there's generally no big releases that early.
Yeah.
So it's a really big time. It's a good chance to not just get it out there to be watched, but to be watched and rewatched.
Yeah, I agree.
The film and there's nothing
especially
else
by
out.
You, it's seven times.
Well, Deadpool still holds the record with three.
That's quite a lot, man. That's impressive.
Especially watching it twice in the same weekend.
Have you watched it since?
I've watched it once on when it first came out on Blu-ray. I wanted to watch the Blu-ray release of it. And I said the other day, I actually want to go back. Whenever I hear Careless Whisper, it makes me want to go and watch Deadpool. And it was on the other day on my Spotify. And I said to Michelle, I badly need to watch Deadpool again because I've not seen it for a few months.
Yeah, it's such an easy film to pick up and watch. That is it from us. We are still planning our 50th.
Well, I'm going to do my little news section.
Oh, Christ, you've got another news section. How long have we been going this?
Not an hour
yet. We're all right. We're not even an hour.
We're actually doing pretty good. So,
and we've talked a load of shit on this as well. That's quite impressive for us.
It's also nothing out of the ordinary.
It's completely common. If you listen to this podcast and you're expecting no tangents, like if you're expecting a formal...
Then that's your own stupid fault, quite
structure.
Frankly.
The only time I think we stuck to structure was Logan, you know. I tried to be really professional on that review.
The shining example of the one time we actually did a really, really, really well-organized pod. The rest of the time it's just an hour of blah, 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 bollocks, bollocks, penis joke. Potentially use a C-bomb and then...
And me talking about directors or some shit.
Yeah, you're getting very aroused by directors.
Yeah, it does happen. What are you going to talk about?
Well, now seems like a really good time for anyone who's interested in getting into Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
2 years ago when DC launched DC Rebirth, it was shock horror, another complete Universal reboot. And Marvel are actually doing their equivalent of that right now. It's literally just started, and they've called it Marvel Legacy. And it might have gone off a lot of people's radar. It might have gone unnoticed that Marvel made a lot of changes to pretty much every single one of their big-name characters. Captain America, Steve Rogers, was replaced by Falcon. Tony Stark, Iron Man, was replaced by Riri Williams, a 15-year-old African-American girl. Thor, Odin's son, is no longer Thor. It's now Jane Foster. Bruce Banner is no longer the Hulk. It's a young Asian-American kid called Amadeus Cho. And they did all of these things pretty much at the exact same time. And I think they renamed it as All New, something like that. So it was All New Hulk, All New Iron Man. But they did all of these things all at the same time. And while they got a lot of positive press for making male characters female, white characters African-American or Asian or whatever, they got a lot of negative attention because they did it all at the same time. And a lot of people thought that it was pandering. So what they've done now is, after a very short run, Marvel Legacy is returning things back to canon. So Tony Stark is going to be Iron Man. Steve Rogers, who lost his powers, then got them back, is going to be back as Captain America. Falcon has gone back to Falcon. It actually arrived today, Falcon number one.
Nice.
Thor is taken out. Odin's son is going to be back as Thor. Because there's actually been two Thors. You've had Unworthy Thor, which was Odin's son, and then the Mighty Thor, which was Jane Foster. But they're doing an arc at the minute called The Death of Thor. So they're killing off Jane Foster to bring him back. And I just thought, if anyone's been thinking, well, I'd like to get into comics, but, you know, Thor is approaching like issue number 800 and I don't know how to get into it. Now is a perfect, perfect time to get into Marvel Comics because they're resetting everything back to the way it used to be. They recently did it a few months ago with the X-Men and they tried to get the X-Men back in line. It's a really good time for people to get in. I'm using the opportunity. At the minute, I subscribe to one Spider-Man, the Scarlet Spider and Venom. I'm now jumping on with Amazing Spider-Man, which is being rebooted, Daredevil, and I'm giving a look into Captain America, Iron Man and Thor as well, because I've always wanted to get into them because they're like the mainstay of the Marvel comics.
Yeah,
but there was so much water under the bridge it was impossible to get into. Well, now they're not resetting it back to square one, but they're putting it back to a point where new people can jump in. So, in case anyone's interested,
sounds good.
Look out for Marvel Legacy. And they recently did a one-shot like DC did with Rebirth. And that's kind of started the process of getting everything back in line. But they followed the exact same pattern that DC did.
Yeah.
With a big, huge power. I won't mention it in case anyone reads it. There was a big power which in DC Rebirth was Dr. Manhattan from The Watchmen. And there was the return of a big name character, which was the Wally West version of the Flash, who'd been stuck in the Speed Force. Marvel have done exactly the same thing with a huge power and the return of a character who was gone. It was a brilliant book. I got up to the point where the character comes back and I took pictures of it and sent them to Joey Connor so he could see them, because I knew he'd like it. And it looks like it's been done very carefully, very, very tastefully. So just a little, you know, little update for anyone who might be interested in it.
Yeah, and there are people, man. Like, I do you know what? There's going to come a time when I read a shit ton of comics. It's just hard. It is, because I know you'll find time, man. But it's once my kids probably get a bit older and I can read a lot more with Jacob in particular, it's going to be fun. But it's just, yeah, there's some really good stuff. And some of it's just so different. It's just so different. And a lot of people think they know everything about these universes because they watch certain films or this and the other, but it's so much more, you know, there's so much more to it, and some of the source material,
and you know what, it's way more
cool.
Enjoyable, it really is. You pick up so much more from reading the books and going back and reading things that are 20-30 years old, storylines that have been adapted for films or for cartoons or have been even used in other TV shows.
Yeah,
and seeing characters, there might be a character that you know from Daredevil, but then you go and read some Spider-Man and think, oh shit, there's loads of Kingpin in this.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
you might have seen the Daredevil. I've read a shitload of Daredevil recently. I've read the whole Mark Waid run from a few years ago, because Mark Waid is probably my favourite comic writer. And you know, you might have seen, say, Deadshot, you know, from that Colin Farrell played in the.
Oh god!
The movie, and he was shite. But you might go and read some of the books and realise that he's actually an incredibly good villain. So it's, you know, again, without repeating myself too much, it's a great time now to jump into it. DC have been killing it for the last 12-18 months with Rebirth anyway. If anyone does want any recommendations of books or individual, you know, like weekly, bi-weekly comics, please do hit me up at Small Hand Stew. If I don't know, I'll throw it out to somebody else that knows more than me, like Joey. Joey's my go-to guy, especially for Marvel.
Yeah, Joey's knowledge is pretty incredible.
I'm pretty sure that he's got a hard drive plugged into his arse, because there's no way you can retain that much information, unless he doesn't know how to tie his own shoes, because otherwise I don't know how he's able to remember all the things. Because every time I read a book, I forget something. Like, when I read too many comics, I forget where I live, or I forget how to drive to work. So, well, that's why I've got sat-nav in my car, because otherwise I don't know where I'm going.
That's a fair point, I guess.
Yeah. And on that bombshell.
Yeah, no, that was really fun. It's good to get these kind of recommendations, it is, because, you know, it's hard to keep up. It is. There's a lot of comics, and there's a lot released on a regular basis.
We did want to do a little Thor reading recommendation, but sadly I can't do it on my own, having read a grand total of one graphic novel in my life. And Joey is a busy man with two kids running around his feet, and obviously being on the other side of the ocean makes it very difficult. If we can get one in round the time of the film's release, you know, over the next month, we absolutely will. But failing that, next episode is episode 50, so we wanted to try and do something a bit bigger. But Samuel L. Jackson is not returning my calls. And
it's
I've
not.
Got so many restraining orders in now that I've just had to stop calling and tweeting people, because it's getting a little bit ridiculous now.
Yeah, Downey Jr. is just giving me the cold shoulder,
he's
man.
He's such a bitch. You know,
he really is, man.
One day
fame's gone to his
come
head.
And see me in Malibu, and then he's like, oh, why are you in my bed? It's just, you know, he's so hot and cold. It's these superstars, they're so pretentious. So we're thinking for the next one, I did a poll last week, and what we might do is a rundown of our top 5 or top 10 heroes and villains, because mine has changed massively in just the last 3 months, let alone the last, you know.
Yeah, I've got a couple of curveballs as well that I kind of like from a long way past that are still kind of in my...
Well, what I wondered is if we did top 5 heroes, top 5 villains, but then top 5 shit characters. So characters that other people don't like, but you love, and you can't even really explain why. That basically works for me, because I like a lot of old DC characters that everyone thinks are shit, but I love them. And I hunt out comics, you know, from the 90s with, like, Booster Gold in, and everyone thinks he's shit, and I love him.
Yeah, there's a cool thing. There's a lot that aren't portrayed very well. Like, Fantastic Four is so badly done in the film format, but there's some really cool comics. My dad's favourite comics growing up were really Fantastic Four, and Doctor Doom is an awesome villain, and they just never, ever get things like that right. So there's some bits and pieces that we can talk about that people may not know so much about.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Right.
Well, hopefully we'll do that for episode 50.
Yeah, in a few weeks we'll try and get some good prep done for it. I don't think I'm going to write anything because I literally can't write shit these days. But yeah, we'll try and get some good stuff going with it. And yeah, we appreciate all the feedback and the unanimous vote of, well, 71%, 31 votes, wasn't
something
votes,
like that.
But
yeah,
that's fine. That's our listener count right there. but yeah, no, thanks.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To tune in as always, and yeah, enjoy Thor when you're going to see it soon, and give us all your feedback because, you know, we're really intrigued, and we'll come back and review it and hopefully get someone on to do it at the same time.
Yeah,
we'll
try and get a review done within a month.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I've got a few pods coming up. I'm doing a Blade Runner 2049 pod in a couple of weeks, and then hopefully after that. So cool. All right. Take it easy. We will catch up with you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet.
Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.